Today's reading is from Luke. Now during those days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles. The word of God for the people of God.
Great job for reading this morning. Now, if it was Dave Williamson preaching, you would have had to read about a whole book of the Bible, but I kept it easy today. Well, as we do each Sunday, I invite you to take out your outline, and this is most fitting for our topic today because we're thinking about hearing from God, and I believe the most important communication you're going to hear today is what you sense God speaking to you. Early in his ministry, Jesus went out and had an all-night prayer session. We don't know what was said. We don't know what happened in that prayer time, but the next morning, Jesus chose his 12 disciples. Very significant decision. His entire ministry rests on the choice of these people. They will carry on and become the church. So Luke makes an obvious connection between that prayer time and being able to make that decision. We can assume that in that all-night session, Jesus heard from God. It's in keeping with other experiences in Jesus' life. Garden of Gethsemane, he prays, wanting to know, is this your will, God? In other moments of his life, he turned to God to seek very clear help and direction. So today, as we continue our series on prayer, we ask a simple question. Do you believe that God speaks? Over 100 times in the Bible, it references God's voice. You could say that the story of the Bible is one long narrative of God speaking to people and people reacting to those promptings or leadings that change the world. Abraham heard God speak in the land of Ur, telling him to leave his homeland and his family and go to a new place to establish a new home for a whole lineage of people faithful to God. It changed the course of history. Moses heard God speaking from a burning bush, telling him to go back to Egypt and release God's people from slavery. And it became the defining moment in Jewish history. One day, the disciple Peter, while taking a nap, felt God telling him to go to another city, the home of a Gentile, and offer the gospel to him, and the doors of the church became open to everybody. God changes the world through people who hear and obey God's promptings. In the Old Testament, there's the wonderful little story about Samuel. He's a boy beginning to hear God's voice, but he doesn't recognize it and he's not sure. So his mentor, the priest Eli, gives him this advice. When you hear that voice again, you say these words, words that every child of God should learn to say. Lord, here is your servant listening. Here is your servant listening. Bill Hybels started a church in 1975 called Willow Creek Community in Chicago, and it is arguably the most impactful church in the world, considering not only its size, but its impact on global Christianity. He learned that story when he was 7 years old. He became so enthralled with the idea that a boy his age could actually hear from God that the teacher who taught him that story passed along this poem that he has kept to this day. Oh, give me Samuel's ear, an open ear, O Lord, alive and quick to hear each whisper of thy word, like him to answer thy call and to obey thee first of all. Because he started out as a 7-year-old boy committed and believing that God speaks, he becomes the leader of such a significant church. Now, if you're still not convinced that God does speak, if this all sounds to you like biblical fairy tales that even involves a pastor in another part of the world, then let's bring it closer to home. Let me tell you about a few St. Luke's people who believe God speaks. Norm Stewart in 2001 felt God speaking to him to start serving breakfast at a place called Fletcher Place. He didn't know what to do with that. He didn't know how he was going to serve meals downtown to people if anybody else would come along. But God kept nagging him for over a year. He finally acted on the promptings. And to this day, volunteers in St. Luke's go every week to serve meals to the homeless at Fletcher Place. How many of you here have ever served breakfast at Fletcher Place? Look at that. Look at that. Because one person followed a prompting. Jim Cotterill is a member of our church. Some years ago, he had a terrible bicycle accident that broke his neck and left him temporarily paralyzed. And during his recovery, he became amazed by the people who were helping him, the generosity of others, restoring his health and his strength. And in that time, he felt God say to him, "When you recover, I want you to help other people be generous just like this." So he left his career once he recovered, started working for a large foundation to develop generosity. In fact, he and his wife wrote a book that, what better title could there be? World-Changing Generosity. One last one. Linda Claffey, who's sitting in the choir this morning, right over here. What, no. Linda, where? Oh, she's over here. It's a new song this morning. Linda, 2014, was in Disciple Bible Study with Dave Williamson, who simply asked the class to ask God where God wants you to serve. So she started taking that seriously, came back to see Dave and said, "I feel like God is calling me to serve in a food pantry, but we don't have one." Now that conversation started bringing in a lot of other people that led to, a year ago this time, our establishing a food pantry in an underserved area of the city. People responding to God's promptings. If you are at all open to the idea that God really does speak, if you're open to that thought, then there is a much more pressing and important question that has to be asked. What's God saying to me right now? What is God saying to me right now? Helen Smith Shoemaker said, "God is constantly communicating with all of us." Linda's probably seen enough of her picture now, guys. You can take her off the screen. God is constantly communicating with all of us. Therefore, could there be anything more important in the Christian life, in the spiritual life, than to listen to what God has to say to us? Because when ordinary people do, God whispers and nudges and changes the world. So this morning, I want us to think about how do we hear from God? Part of the way we begin this whole notion is understanding that we're not talking about something uncommon and extraordinary. When you read in the Bible about people hearing from God, when you listen to other people who say, "I felt God told me to do this," it is so easy to put that into an exceptional category because it sounds like they have a conversation with God that we never have. In fact, you read in the Bible about conversations with God, it would sound like just like people talking to each other. But I want you to think about the Apostle Paul. When he experienced his conversion on the road to Damascus, he had a clear conversation with Jesus. But when he talked about his own experience much, much later in life, look in your outline at what he said about that. "Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not hear the voice of the one who was speaking to me." In other words, what Paul had was something very personal and very inner. So how do we learn to hear that inner personal voice of God? Here's how I experience it in my life. It comes to me as thoughts. Thoughts. When I feel God speaking to me, it's an idea. It might be a clear sentence or thought. It might be a word. It might be a name of a person. Something that puts a feeling inside of me. Something that takes my thoughts in another direction. Maybe it's something that challenges me, but usually it stops me because in the moment, I've come to recognize that I'm not just thinking my own thoughts right now. That has come from beyond. So I want us to consider how we open ourselves up to God's voice in our life. Four things I want us to think about. And the first one is really what we talked about last week, and that is to develop listening habits. To develop listening habits. To have a time every day where we get alone and we spend with God, and we talked about that last week. Let me just say what my listening habits do for me. I've got a couple of props this morning, and the first one is my cell phone. I am technologically challenged because I will forget to charge my phone. I'll leave it in my car at night. I will turn my phone on and realize, oh, Susan's tried to call me 10 times. Or staff members will say, call me ASAP, and that was 3 days ago. But when I turn it on, I am receiving signals that might be coming all the time. When I pray in the morning, I might not receive anything in that moment. It might be an empty time. But what I do is I turn on my spiritual cell phone because as I go through my day, my antenna is up where I have said, God, I want to begin my day open to what you say to me. And sometimes out of the blue, I will get a thought, an idea, a sense about something that I go, okay, message is coming in. So it begins with forming our own listening habits where we can pause to give concentration to God and say, God, I believe you want to say something to me in this day. Before I lay me down to sleep tonight, I just bet you're going to talk to me a lot. I want to open myself up to that. Now, when we open ourselves up to it, what does it look like? What does it mean to recognize promptings? I want to think about two words here that as I look at Scripture and the way people encounter God, I think these two experiences describe God's voice the best. One is whispers, and the other is nudges. Whispers and nudges. Think about Elijah's experience in the wilderness. He goes away to a cave to hear from God. He sees an earthquake, but it says God wasn't in the earthquake. He experiences a rock-splitting wind, but God wasn't in the wind. He sees a great fire, but God wasn't in the fire. But then there is the sentence that you see there, and after the fire, a gentle whisper. Now, I believe God whispers to us when God wants to comfort us or assure us of something, where God wants to bless us, but communicate God's presence in a way that strengthens us. I had a whisper early in my ministry that changed my life, and I've told this to you before. I was in my first church as a senior pastor in a church that had 30 to 40 retired pastors in it, a number of retired bishops, and was in a location where we frequently had world leaders of the church in our congregation. And I felt every Sunday, I've got to impress these people. I've got to make sure they know I'm smart enough to be here, that I'm gifted enough, and after a year, I was worn out. I had a habit every Saturday night, I would go, the parsonage was beside the church. Kids would go to bed late night, walk to my office, print my sermon off, go to the sanctuary, get down on my knees at the altar, hold my sermon in my hand, and I would pray a prayer that goes like this, please God bless this sermon. I use the word please a lot. And one night, a sentence came into my thoughts that was so clear, where God said to me, what is important is not how good is the material you give me to use, but my power to use what you give me. That changed my life. I stopped worrying about whether or not people were going to be impressed with me. And whether they were going to be impressed with God. Because I'm not what people need. They need God. My prayers changed from then on. So every Sunday, what I'm praying is, God, you show up. Let people experience you today and know that you're real. Have you ever experienced whispers? God assuring you of something. Another way God speaks to us is through nudges. Nudges. The prophet Isaiah says, God leads us like a shepherd. And here's my second prop. How does a shepherd lead? With a staff, right? And when does a shepherd have to use the staff? When the sheep start to go astray. The shepherd nudges sheep back into line. The staff becomes God's way of correcting, rebuking, helping us not get off track. Let me tell you about a nudge story for me. It was after I came to St. Luke's. I was teaching a class in my first months of being here. People were still arriving, and we were talking, telling stories. For some reason, we got to talking about weddings. And I started telling bad wedding stories. Weddings of bridezillas. Now, this was before I came here. These are North Carolina bridezillas. So I'm sure no bridezillas in Indiana. But as I'm talking about bridezillas, one of the members of the group came in and sat down and started listening. And then she just kind of put her head down. She didn't look up much the rest of the night. She didn't chime in at all like she usually does. And the next morning, I'm in my prayer time, and all of a sudden, that person comes to mind. Now, I've learned to connect my prayer time when I think of people. I take it that that's God's way of saying, I want you to pray about that person. I want you to reach out to them. I want you to write them a note. So I started praying. I said, you know, Lord, she seemed bothered last night. And I guarantee you, in the middle of this prayer, God interrupts me, and I start to have a conversation with God. God says, do you want to know what was bothering her? And I said, sure. And God says, you. And I said, what did I do? And God said, remember when you were talking about bridezillas? Oh, my goodness. She and her husband had just asked me to do the wedding of their daughter. Oh, my goodness. How did that sound when she came into the room? It sounded like I was saying, I don't like doing weddings, which could not be further from the truth. But oh, my goodness. My stomach sank. Soon as I got to the office, I called her. I said, you know, I'm just concerned. You didn't seem to be your normal self last night, and I think I might be at fault. I was talking about this when you came in. She said, well, now that you mention it, sure enough. You see, God not only nudged me, God broke the stick over my head. And sometimes that's what it takes to get us back where we're supposed to be. Have you ever been nudged by God? Have you ever read a book, heard a sermon, listened to a conversation, had a thought that made your stomach sink, and in the moment you just loathed yourself? But that's God's way of saying, I don't need you to stay in a place of loathing. I want to help you make it right and get to a better place. Another way God speaks to us is when we practice crucial pauses. When we are about to let our emotions get away from us and we creep toward the ledge. You know what the ledge is? That's where the next word you say or the next action you commit is one you're going to regret. And you know when you get near the ledge, don't you? You know when you're in that moment and you're at the ledge. How critical is it to stop and just say, okay, God, what would Jesus do in this moment right now? You pray that prayer at the ledge, you're going to hear something. And I tell you what I often hear when I'm at the ledge. I often hear words of Scripture come back to me. Do not sin in your anger. Remember that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Be kind, compassionate, and forgiving. Above all things, make love your aim. That's what I hear. And then I'll go, okay, okay. And then I'll start to feel God's strength to do something different. The most important aspect of hearing from God is then to obey leadings. To obey leadings. Sometimes we get a prompting from God, but we don't act on it because what we don't know is how are we going to ever carry that out? What is it going to mean to obey? And we wait and we wait and we wait, and we'll never know until we take a step. And when we take the step, that is when we begin to know that was a God leading. Just this past week, a member of our church came to see me and tell me his own story of being in the middle of obeying a leading. And I said, right, I need you to come and share that in the sermon Sunday. So he has been kind to do that. And I'm going to ask Ed to come up and just tell us what he has been hearing from God in his life lately.
Last August, while attending the two-day Global Leadership Summit with other St. Lukers at Grace Church, Bill Hybel presented a YouTube video of Burl Cain, the warden at the Louisiana State Penitentiary. This 8-minute video, which highlighted the prison's commitment to bringing faith into the prison and showed how that commitment reduced the rate of prison murders by nearly 80%, was so powerful that I looked over at my friend, Jeff Dowden, who was sitting next to me, and I said, "How cool is that?" And then jokingly added, "We should do that in Indiana." Well, let me tell you something. God did not see the humor in it and did not see this problem as a joke. Instead, God saw it as a grander vision and decided to challenge both Jeff and me. I will preface this by saying that I have heard stories of people who have said that God has spoken to them. I was always envious of this and wondered why in my 55 years, God had never spoken to me. Some would say that maybe he had spoken to me, but I just wasn't listening. But what happened next is what has led me to this place right now. Over the next several months, God kept whispering this thought of prison ministry and the GLS in my mind. It just would not go away. Finally, I started to realize that God wasn't going to let me off the hook. I started thinking more and more about how we can do this and less on why we shouldn't do this. I finally said yes to God. The next afternoon, I received a text from my friend, Jeff Dowden, who said, "Do you have time to talk?" God had been whispering to him as well and would not let go. And then he said, "Ed, we have got to do this." Coincidence? I think not. Since then, both Jeff and I have dedicated ourselves to get this message out to people who might want to be interested in help. We reached out to Willow Creek Church in Chicago, which leads the Global Leadership Summit, and told them of our goal of getting a couple of Indiana prisons enrolled as satellite locations for the Global Leadership Summit. Those conversations led us to reaching out to the Director of Religious Services for the Indiana Department of Corrections, who we found out later had attended the August 2015 Global Leadership Summit and loved it and wanted to find a way to incorporate what was done in Louisiana into the Indiana prison system, but he knew there would be state budget difficulties. Jeff and I spoke with him and said, "Just forget about the money and let us, or rather God, worry about the money." From there, all of the decisions just took off. We received immediate approval from the Commissioner of the Indiana Department of Corrections, and our message to him was to tell Governor Pence that this will be budget neutral for the state of Indiana. No barriers in the way. We are now moving forward with the goal of selecting 4 to 5 sites in 2016, 10 sites in 2017, and then all 21 of Indiana's prisons locations by 2018. However, at the end of the day, we know that this will be significant if we can impact just one life and help to lead just one person to Jesus Christ. God will take care of the rest. Finally, last week, we received an email from Dave Leibel, Director of Religious Services at the Indiana Department of Corrections. In his email, he told us that we were the answer to his prayers for his prisoners. But if truth be told, both Jeff and I feel that they are the answer to our prayers.
So that is a prompting that's unfolding, and I'm grateful for Ed being here to share it with us today. And as you listen, you may feel God stirring something inside of you saying, I want to be a part of that conversation. I want to be a part of God's power to rehabilitate prisoners. I don't know what that'll mean, but right now I at least want to share in the conversation. So after worship, Ed is going to go out during the closing hymn and be just out in the gathering area. And if you want to come and introduce yourself and maybe let Ed get your name, or you could write down your name and email for him and just hand it to him to begin gathering people to see what this might become in the way of impacting folks in the prisons in Indiana. Now, there's a lot more that could be said about this whole listening to God and the way we experience it and the variety of ways God can interact in our lives. But I want to begin to close thinking about some objections. And one major objection to this whole thing is, how do we ever know it's really God? I mean, isn't that what psychopaths do? They go out and commit horrific crimes and say, God told me to do it. I mean, how do you really know? I want to offer a book to you that I think is very helpful around this whole business. The person I mentioned from Willow Creek Church, Bill Hybels, the senior pastor, the one who started the Global Leadership Summit, wrote a book called The Power of a Whisper. And in this book, he includes what he calls his five filter test. Five things he says is a part of testing whether something is from God. Number one, is it consistent with God's character? Is it validated by Scripture and the life of Jesus? Is it wise? Is it in tune with my own character? And what do spiritually wise people who care about me think? We don't have this book in the bookstore right now, but if you want to get it, just let them know in the bookstore you'd like to have a copy of The Power of a Whisper ordered. You can do that as you're going to buy Adolf and Naomi's book today in the bookstore. But I hope it's something you will engage in reading about and studying and really believing God is speaking right now. God is talking to us all the time, and life changes when we open ourselves up in ways we can hear and receive those messages and respond to them. One other objection. What do you do when you follow a leading and it doesn't turn out? What do you do when you pray about something and it doesn't go the way you prayed? Susan's mother-in-law had a great piece about a high-risk surgery that she was going to have, believing that God was saying to her, this is the right choice. I stood here and led us a week ago in a prayer for her healing and her recovery, and it did not turn out that way. What do you do then? We're going to talk about that in 2 weeks. We're going to talk about the challenge of unanswered prayer. But in thinking about Susan's mother, let me close out the message today with a story. I shared in my email Friday about Susan's mother was the quintessential unconditional lover. That defined her life. Unconditional love. That's how she loved all people. And it made a great difference in the life of our oldest daughter, Julie. When we moved to Indiana, it was in the middle of a tough, tough time in Julie's life. 4 years before that, it was because of my move as a pastor that disrupted her life in the only home she had ever known, with the only friends in her life, that she had to walk away from all of them at 14 years old and did not understand why, and that began a tough period of life. When we moved to Indiana, she was just beginning college. She was without any kind of a church home. She was without even a home, not knowing people here. And off to college, she went in Kansas. Not the biggest fan of the church, and probably not the biggest fan of faith. But during her college time, she ended up transferring to the college where Susan's parents live, a small Methodist college. And so a good bit of that time was spent living in their home. And she's very close with her grandmother because her grandmother always loves her, no matter what. Now, I wish there were times her grandmother would say something a little different, like, young lady, you need to do what your parents tell you. I wish grandmother would have done that, but she didn't. She just loved her unconditionally, and she showed her God's love at the same time. I mean, it's like the two were the same. God's love, grandma's love, they were right there together. I picture her in heaven right now going up to Jesus saying, do you know how loved you are? You know, showing Jesus some love. That's just who she is. And because of that, our daughter's in a much better place today. She's an active member of this church. She's doing her first job and career out of college. In this past stewardship series, she made a commitment to tithe. Different place. A year ago, she was getting ready for her last semester of college, and she lost a very special ring. When all of Susan's grandmother's granddaughters were born, she bought very small diamond rings to give them when they graduated from high school. Well, Julie lost her ring. She knew it was probably on a certain street between the college campus and her grandparents' house, but it had snowed. She had searched up and down the street day after day after day and could not find it, and it was the night before she came home for Christmas break, and she knew, that's it, I'm probably not going to find the ring. So the last night, with only a few hours before she had to finish packing, she and her boyfriend took her dog out for a walk on this street to look one more time, to look really fast, to cover as much ground as they could. And her dog wanted to sniff something off to the side of the road, which she had no ability to resist because her dog's a Saint Bernard. So she's frustrated. The dog won't move. She can't look and search. And all of a sudden she said, I just felt this nudge. And God said, turn your fret to me. Turn your fret to me. She said, so I just stopped, I closed my eyes, and I prayed. God, you know this is my last chance to find that ring, and I won't be able to do it without you, but if I don't, then give me peace to let it go. When she opened her eyes, her dog was sniffing right above the ring. Is that God? Is that God's doing? Who knows? You follow leading sometimes and it doesn't always turn out the way you want. But here's what I believe. You follow a God leading in your life, no matter how great or small, and you will never regret it.